It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Bickert.
And I'm Cynthia Schuster, in for Rob Ferret. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up, we'll learn about the life and career of Wisconsin native Frederick March.
First, U.S. officials confirmed yesterday that a video showing the beheading of an American journalist, James Foley, by a member of the militant group ISIS is authentic. In the video, Foley cites the United States air campaign against ISIS as the reason for his beheading.
President Obama launched that campaign on August 8th, and he spoke to the nation yesterday about James Foley's murder. Here's what he had to say.
ISIL has no ideology of any value to human beings. Their ideology is bankrupt. And they may claim out of expediency that they are at war with the United States or the West, but the fact is they terrorize their neighbors and offer them nothing but an endless slavery to their empty vision and the collapse of any definition of civilized behavior.
He followed up with comments about the United States' response.
The United States of America will continue to do what we must do to protect our people. We will be vigilant and we will be relentless. When people harm Americans anywhere, we do what's necessary to see that justice is done. And we act against ISIL, standing alongside others.
Douglas Ollivant joins us now to talk about the United States' response to ISIL so far and what we can expect moving forward. He's a senior national security fellow with the New America Foundation and former director for Iraq at the National Security Council during both the Bush and Obama administrations. Douglas, thanks for joining us.
Thanks. Good afternoon, Veronica.
Well, how significant is the murder and the message behind ISIS's murder of U.S. journalist James Foley to the United States?
I don't think this really changes anything except a level of awareness. Certainly, no one that I know who follows ISIL was very shocked by this event. This is very much in their character, in their nature. This is a brutal group that, you know, we've seen does crucifixions, buried Yazidi children alive, was running slave markets, massacring people. So this really shouldn't surprise us. This is well within the range of how they operate. But I think this has struck home with the American people in a way that what happened to the Yazidis was a little more at the level of theory to a lot of people. This obviously hits very close to home.
And here in Wisconsin, Senator Ron Johnson is going to be holding town hall meetings in the state to raise awareness about ISIL and the threat that they pose to the United States. Is this appropriate at this time? Do we need to be concerned here in America about the threat of ISIL, maybe on the homeland?
Regrettably, I think we do. As we've seen, if you watch the video or watch some excerpt of the video, this is a brutal group. I mean, there are terrorist groups. You know, Hamas is a terrorist group, but Hamas doesn't bury people alive. They don't run slave markets. They don't massacre people, you know, as a group, as a people. They don't conduct genocide. This is a group of a different nature than your, you know, garden variety terrorist group, though those are still bad and evil and to be discouraged. So it's something of a different character, and they have a large number of Westerners. We estimate there are scores, around 100, give or take, Americans who are affiliated with ISIL, and as many as 1,000 Europeans, you know, who have passports where they can go through American customs without a visa, without much screening. So there's a very serious threat to our homeland. I think it's very clear that ISIL wants to be the big kid on the block when it comes to Islamic jihadism. They are clearly in competition with al-Qaeda. What distinguishes al-Qaeda from ISIS is that al-Qaeda has struck the American homeland and ISIL has not. I suspect that they want to change that.
So what do we do about it at this point? We've got airstrikes going on in Iraq, and that's something that could continue for the long term. But in terms of keeping out threats to America who may have passports, American citizens, how do we do that?
Well, that's going to require a lot of cooperation. It's going to require intelligence services in each of these countries to be a little more vigilant about their people who are going to known access points to move into ISIL. You know, to get to Iraq or Syria, very few of these people are just going to fly in there. They're probably mostly going to go to Turkey and move across the border into Syria. or go into Jordan and move across the border. So we should be able to track those people who move there. We should be able to do the same with American citizens. But it's going to require a lot of vigilance and a lot of intelligence sharing between all these countries.
And do you think the president responded appropriately, given the fact that, as you said, this did touch a nerve for the American public for good reason? Did the president do what he can to assuage fears?
I think the president is doing a remarkably good job managing this crisis. There's obviously nothing we can do for Mr. Foley now. I don't think there's anything we can do for his companion either. I mean, they're in the hands of ISIL, and I don't think we have any idea where in the deserts of Syria or Iraq these people might be. So all we can do now is prevent further harm or try to prevent further harm. And I think the president is also trying to raise awareness among the American people that this is a very real threat. And even though this threat is largely in Iraq, which all of us would like to never have any military engagement with again, nonetheless, there is this terrorist safe haven growing in Iraq that is a threat to our homeland, and we may have to do something about it.
Well, as you say, there's no appetite for a very intense involvement in Iraq, and yet this is where ISIL, where ISIS has taken root for a large part in Syria as well. So in terms of the U.S. response, what have the airstrikes accomplished so far?
Well, what they've accomplished so far is they've prevented ISIS from spreading further. They've not been able to move towards Erbil. They've not been able to move towards Baghdad. And when they took the Mosul Dam, we were able to push them off of that. I think that what we saw in the Mosul Dam operation may have been a proof of concept for how we want to do this in the future. We saw Iraqi government forces in conjunction with Kurdish forces fighting on the ground against ISIS or ISIL or Daesh or the Islamic State. Those are all equivalent terms. With U.S. air power in providing support. And with the U.S. air power, both the Iraqi army units and the Kurds did substantially better than they had done in the past against the Islamic State or ISIS. I think that's our proof of concept moving forward. Now, a lot of the other places that the Islamic State may have to be engaged, the cities like Mosul and Tikrit, are going to be much harder than was Mosul Dam. There were no civilians around Mosul Dam. There were no buildings to hide in. It was hard for them to dig in there. So that was a relatively easy place for us to expel the Islamic State from. But I think that still showed that that's the preferred technique that we're going to want to have moving forward, like we did in Mosul Dam or something on the Libya model, where the Iraqis or other forces, we've had the PKK has been helping. That's a Kurdish group in Turkey. That's actually a designated terrorist group, but they were part of the group that helped rescue the Yazidis, so we seem to be okay with that. Perhaps forces out of Syria. I think it'll be whoever's willing to help us fight on the ground against ISIS or ISIL, we may be willing to help provide air power for.
And President Obama has said that ISIS is a cancer that he'd like to see the world rid of. Is there any plan on the table to do that, to eradicate ISIS, or are we just sort of controlling damage right now?
Well, we're certainly controlling damage right now, and I think we need to be aware that this is something we're going to have to live with. Now, we don't have to live with them controlling large pieces of territory in Iraq and Syria, and I think that's something the president is going to engage the American people about fixing. But, this cancer is not going away anytime soon. There are deep root causes that eventually we'll have to worry about. We're not in root causes mode right now. Right now we're in dealing with these terrorists who slaughter people and run slave markets and behead journalists, and that's appropriate. Once we get to the point where they're pushed back, then we can start thinking about root causes in the region.
Douglas, do you expect to see more involvement from the U.S. in terms of military might, more than airstrikes?
I think the president is going to be remarkably reticent to put U.S. forces on the ground in Iraq for all types of very obvious historical reasons. That's just still an open wound in the American body politic. We still have not resolved what we think as a whole about the war in Iraq, and we still fight about it a lot. So it's hard for me to see him committing ground troops in any serious way. Advisors at Embassy Baghdad, advisors at some of these senior military headquarters where their chances of getting overrun or captured are very, very close to zero. Yes, something like that. Putting American troops into combat, probably not.
We'll leave it there, Douglas. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much, Veronica.
That was Douglas Ollivant, Senior National Security Fellow with the New America Foundation and former Director for Iraq at the National Security Council during both the Bush and the Obama administrations.